That's very leading the band, and it's a wonderful tune. It's a classic. It's a jazz classic, and you can tell from the opening he gets right into it. That is called No Problem. And that's funny because I've been having all kinds of technical problems, technological problems, not technical, technological problems. And it's funny that I should choose a song titled No Problem. No Problem. Clark Terry is on trumpet and flugelhorn. Tommy Flanagan is on piano. Julius Walker is on French horn. Yusuf Lateef on flute and English horn, oboe, and tenor sax. Seldon Powell on flute and tenor sax, and Joe Benjamin on bass, and Ed Shaughnessy on drums. A full complement for this particular tune. This was recorded in 1960 and released on Clark Terry's 1961 album titled Color Changes. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just yesterday. Just want to give a little shout out by way of encouragement because we had some people in line who wanted to talk. Zabby from New York, you're one of them. You can get ready to dial up and pick up from where you left off. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Lots of things happening, but we will get to the heart of our discussion, which is, what do you think is happening right now? What is the mood right now? And what do you think needs to happen right now in order to get us some sense of stasis, that things have settled down and we can pick up and continue from where we left off? But the thing is, we have a very sickening feeling that that's not going to happen based on what we are witnessing. But it is important to hear from you, to have you deconstruct the moment that we're in. And therefore, you can help us kind of fix ourselves for what we think is coming. Maurice from Queens, you're on the air.
Well, I was listening to the jazz music. I was enjoying that. Thanks for your pickup. I was told initially that I had to wait until you announced the call-in, but I'm glad you're taking my call, and I appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in. So, what are
Yes.
you thinking at this moment? What is the tenor of the time saying to you about what the work is that we collectively have to do?
Well, my first impression is that things are going to really get really bad in the next few months and years coming into the midterm elections. And there's a lot of biases going around Trump and misinformation. And listening to the program yesterday, it seems that everybody hates Trump for some reason and won't acknowledge the good that he has done. I mean, there would never be a border crisis like we have today. The
I have
COVID
to
pandemic would
interrupt you
not be
for a
so extensive as it is now.
second. Maurice, I have to interrupt you for one second. There seems to be a radio or television on.
Yes, there is. I turned
Shoot.
it off. Okay.
So that we can hear you 100%. All right. So you were saying, in a way, not in a way, you're saying that the tenor of the time seems decidedly anti-Trump. Why is that important in your sense, in your way of thinking of it?
Well, I think yesterday you mentioned that the media is kind of not telling or protecting Trump, which is not exactly correct, in my opinion, because it seems like they're hiding his message. And you look at 80 million people voted for Trump, and I'm not necessarily one who likes everything he says, but I can appreciate the good that he has done. You know, and
I didn't say that. Let's correct the record. I didn't say that the media basically is not protecting Trump. Quite the opposite. I think the media has gone way overboard and neglected its duty to be very factual in its coverage of Trump and the White House. And I think to some degree, but to a much lesser degree so far, with Biden. The issue with Trump, and we've been caught up in the cult of personalities, Trump, by any comparison with any former president, you have to be a really bad president not to outdo Trump in terms of his ability to handle his office. He started out being a very undesirable candidate, and his was a candidacy that was manufactured. It was all hoopla, just joined the bandwagon, and here we have this guy, and he is taking advantage of people's disinterest in knowing the facts and utilizing those facts to make sound judgments about his candidacy. That's what I really believe that.
My opinion is that you mentioned yesterday that he's forming a shadow government. And
yesterday he was. I said it a long time ago. I said it months and months ago.
I understand that. I listen. Not that often to the program, but once in a while after the Gary Noe show, I'll dial in. I'll listen to you. And excuse me, but Gary Noe, he has this disdain for Trump and his children. So it kind of like turned me off. This disdain.
What you want to discuss with Gary Noe? Don't use my program to attack Gary Noe. I'm not going to allow that.
You follow his show, and it seems like it's the same kind of biases that goes on. 80 million people voted for Trump, the largest in the history of the United States.
A lot of people voted for Adolf Hitler. Now what?
Okay. It's another thing you mentioned that, 80 people voted for Biden, and that's on the suspect because the
genetic... voted for 80 million people voted. They keep making up all these statistics and flinging them at other people as if to intimidate them into silence. That makes no sense. That how many people voted? 400 million people could have voted for Trump. Does it change my attitude about Donald Trump? No.
Well, that's the point. We know it by the fruits that they deliver. I mean, he's done, as far as from what I see in the non-major media, he's done a lot more to save this country, the border crisis that's going on now. It would have never happened with 13 soldiers killed in Afghanistan.
The border crisis to a large extent and provoked it in order to have the opportunity to present his false arguments about the United States about to be overrun by brown people. That's essentially what his argument was. Do not let these colored people overrun the border. Next thing you know, your daughter would be marrying a Mexican, and you'll have half Mexican children.
So in your opinion, Trump has done nothing beneficial to save this
whether
country,
he has
to make it
done
better,
something
done nothing for
or
black
he has
folks?
Done nothing. It is not, that
has
is
done
not
nothing? True. Is that your opinion?
You are content, it seems, to be comforted by the fact that he may have done one or two or three good things.
And no, you've done a lot of good things, like 100 good things. The Veterans Administration,
really rude.
Funding the black, historically black colleges for 10 years when they have to come back every year to beg for money.
May I say to you that the world is a complex place. If you want to pick and choose, you know, well, I know he did this one good thing over here, and he did another good thing over there, and he intended to do an even better thing over here. That makes him a good person.
Well, are we in a worse state because Biden was elected as president of the United States? Look what he's done. He's done nothing.
What he's done? How long has he been in office?
Well, like, 8 months, 9 months now, 10 months?
Wow! And you should know within an 8 month period all the good things he is capable of doing and all the bad things that he, in fact, did. Aren't you supposed to know that in 8 months? Everything that he is capable of doing and hasn't gotten to yet.
What he has gotten to it has taken us back. Look at the border crisis.
Okay.
Look
what
at the crisis
doing
at the border.
I'm
the mandate for vaccination. He won't mandate these people coming across the border to be vaccinated, yet he's demanding American citizens to be vaccinated. Can't go to church. Can't sit in church. Can't go to theater. But these people, these hundreds of thousands of
people. We got to have rules, and I've stressed this quite a bit. We both can't talk at the same time. I give you the respect of your space to make your point. I counter when you're done making your point. I don't talk over you. I want to hear what you're saying. I want people to hear what you're saying. So by the time I make my argument, they have a full sense of what you said and what I said. When you continue to talk over me, understand that on just a basic level, that's bad manners. And if I were to talk in terms of the show, I'm the host. You don't want to show bad manners to the host. You get what you just got. Silence. I don't disrespect you. I want you to say what you have to say. I will challenge you, of course. I won't let you get away with things. I will question you. But I'm not going to talk over you. For one thing, you become very difficult to hear. Like you started your program. You started the program with your television on. And you are on radio. So I am left as the host of a program and as the listeners of this program interrupted by your decision to handle two programs at the same time. So we don't know when the radio is on and we're getting stuff from radio or television and then from you. Come on. We're grown people. Act like it. 888-874-4888. I like strong opinions. I really do. But we got to have manners. We have to follow some kind of order. And the last thing you want to do, if you want to get a good sympathetic hearing, is you're kind to the host. The host is trying to be kind to you. Denise from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutresa. I hope you're doing well today. And thank you for taking my call. I don't know if you remember me.
I'm laughing because I just got through a tirade, and here you are with such a perky voice. I hope you're doing well today. I'm trying, Denise.
Yes, no, that's fine. I have to say that I actually agree with Maurice from Queens. I think Trump has done a pretty good job. Very good job.
I'm not interested in the job that he has done. Everybody, to some degree, you would tend to think, will have in the course of their lives done some good things and done some bad things. Okay, so he's done some good things. Do they, at this point, outweigh the bad things?
Yeah. I have to say that I'm pretty mortified by Joe Biden's performance at this point. 10 months in,
we are not
happy with what he's doing.
But what do you know of what he's doing? Let's stop right there, and you tick off the list of all the bad things he's doing.
Would you like me to name a few? I'm asking you,
what are the bad things that he's doing, since you seem very familiar with it?
Yes, I'm going to name just a few things that I'm pretty horrified by what Joe Biden is doing. Number one, I'm also, just as Maurice is saying, I am really not happy with what's going on at the border. I think it has ballooned into a really large crisis that was under control until he got into office. And
it was under control. Wait a minute. I want to challenge you on that point, as it's nice and fresh.
Okay.
It was under control by your standards. Do you know what the controls were supposed to be?
What I'm saying is that there was, what we're looking at now is a...
No. Answer the question, please. You just said it was under control. What exactly was under control?
I'm happy to explain. Okay, so what I mean by that is that there was a policy in place whereby...
What policy?
I'm telling you, I'm trying to explain, that required these people to be kept in on the Mexico side and processed there.
These people are whom? Let's define
these people
it.
Are all
these
the immigrants
people.
Who are coming to this wonderful country to use our benefits, and we can't afford it. We cannot afford
it. Okay, well, hold on.
Are we taking care of our own?
This is a very interesting lopsided kind of conversation.
I hear you.
Because it requires you to ignore centuries of bad doings and bad policy and murder and mayhem and the onerous burdens placed on people for no reason other than whatever it is the United States chooses to use as legitimate. Frankly, are you aware of the international policy as it relates to immigrants?
Pray tell.
And migrants?
Are you aware of the policy? What I'm concerned about is this country. Because this is our country.
This, I am concerned about this country, too. What do you think I'm talking about? Are you concerned
about international at this point?
Are you familiar with the laws, international laws, that countries who have signed on to these principles are obliged, they are compelled to observe?
Yeah, please do it. Educate us about that.
No. That's arrogance.
Because what I'm saying
is arrogance, I'm not here to teach you.
Yeah.
You either know what you're talking about or you don't, and you don't.
No. Okay. Well, you can have that opinion.
You have the nerve to start off by saying
what I'm trying to say.
You didn't have the nerve to start off by saying that he's done a lot of good and all these wonderful things that he's doing. And you cannot even say definitively that you know that the country, as a signatory to the international covenants concerning migrants and immigrants, is in good standing with that. You don't even know what it is.
Well, you don't know that I don't know. because what I'm focusing on is a different point.
I hope that you don't know because you said you don't know. But you find sympathy on white guys on horseback with their long reins using it as whips. That's what you approve of.
Oh, come on, please.
You don't have an inkling of international law. So until you do that, and until you are able to substantiate your point of view within that context, then we can talk. Until then, you're just spitting in the wind.
Well, thank you for your acknowledgement of my opinion, but I'd like to make a second point, which is that...
I know you would, but I would not like you to. I know you would like to make a second point and a third and a fourth.
No, no, it's about the same. Allow it. You asked me.
I will not allow you to. This program does not exist for people like you to continue to spread propaganda and things that are just total lies. And again, you have no basis. You haven't been able to prove that you even know what you're talking about. We like on this program, we like people who know what they're talking about. Goodbye. Gwen from New York.
Ah. Oh, I know.
I'm having a little testy day today. How are you doing, Gwen? Is she there? Well, Gwen, I don't know what happened, but Gwen. I heard your voice and now I don't. 888-874-4888. I very seldom get riled up, but I really detest when people think they can use a program to their advantage as the people who spread alternative truths. I wouldn't say lies, I'll call them alternative truths. I don't like that. And especially having just upbraided a person for daring to disrespect my position on this program. I'm not your equal. I'm hosting this program. Behave accordingly. Behave accordingly. That's what I say. I think that's fair because I treat everybody with respect from the start. You don't have to qualify for my respect. You get it. Until, of course, you indicate that you would rather take the conversation someplace else. I don't get that. I won't put up with it. Other people might. But I won't. You see, I was raised by some serious parents, Claude and Gertrude. They had 9 children. I'm number 7, so I'm down the road a bit. But they were very serious about certain things, which we now know would form the basis of mutual respect. It's just basic. And when you can't observe the basics and indicate to me that you're coming to me in a human way, and you're going to just move me out of your way so that you can use the people's airwaves for your propaganda purposes, or you're going to have a battle on your hands. I guarantee it. Oh, Gwen, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm so sorry about that. I got cut off, but I just wanted to answer some of the concerns I had with the 2 former calls. I agree with you that if you're going to start telling us what great things people have done, you need to be able to cite those great things. And I did not hear that in the conversation. I heard vagaries, but that's all I heard. And to the woman that just spoke, I think I've said this before after she has spoken. I just want to get her to get this figure. out of all of your tax dollars you pay, and you pay probably between 27 and 35%, only 7% of your tax dollars goes to all social services. That's Medicare, Medicaid, anything that's considered a service of welfare. All of that is only 7% of your tax dollars. The rest of it goes to the military-industrial complex. So please don't tell me that we can't afford anything, because we could afford it if we'd stop paying for all of the plutocrats and all of the multi-billionaires to skid around with tax-free. So I really get upset when I hear people that sound like, you know, regular people, just regular middle-class people, when they speak like this, because I want people to get on their side. If you're going to fight a battle, why are you fighting a battle for the corporations? Why are you fighting a battle for the very people who just go to the bathroom in your face rather than allow you to have anything? And as far as the things, these things we've seen, like with the Haitians that have come in and the terrible treatment they got terrible, terrible treatment. But I have to say that I think there's also people behind the scenes in the government that have been given the task of taking care of things for the president. And I don't think the president ever gave the okay to go out on horses and start whipping people. I might think that Joe Biden has some flaws, but I don't think that he would ever think that was a good thing to do, not just from a humanitarian point of view, from an optics point of view. Nothing could have looked worse or made him look worse. So I'm pretty sure that he did not know that those people were going to do what they did. And as far as the immigration things, I don't think there's anyone more cruel than Donald Trump as far as immigration. So I just get really annoyed. And the last thing I want to say about the former caller, the man, I just can't believe it. Donald Trump was like a walking time bomb. Things like the Clean Water Act, Donald Trump thought were a good thing to get rid of. Now, when you get rid of the Clean Water Act, what you also do is you end up allowing people to build on wetlands all over the United States. And while that was happening for the last 4 years, and I really couldn't understand why the Carpenters Union and everybody was so supporting Trump. Well, it was like a free-for-all. So they built on every square inch of land that wasn't moving. So in places like where my parents live in Cape May, New Jersey, where it was completely built out 15 years ago, it was all built on over the last 4 years. And now we have record flooding down there, flooding like we've never seen before. Because if you don't have wetlands, then you don't have any place for the water to go. Now, that's just a small thing. Well, I think it's a big thing. But that's one piece of one of those great things that Trump did. So the only thing that I think that was great about Trump is, and it's not insignificant, but you have to realize that Trump's motive for not going to war with Russia or being provocative with Russia was not because he's a peaceful man or he wanted peace. He wanted business, a personal business, for himself in Russia. So he kept the peace with Russia in order to not burn any bridges in the future. So I really can't think of anything that Donald Trump that did was so great for regular people. I mean, I am a regular working class girl, and I can't understand. And as far as the pandemic, understand something. It was Donald Trump that had the initial lockdown. It was he who did the initial lockdown. It was he that wanted to vaccinate everybody. Joe Biden has only picked up on the policies. But also understand this, is that while we're fighting over these ridiculous arguments over right and left at this point, it seems to me that we have bigger fish to fry, because it seems that it's a worldwide organization that wants to make sure that everybody in the world gets this vaccine, that makes sure that everyone in the world goes through a certain amount of lockdown. So I think that at this point, you have to also see where both parties are almost irrelevant at this point, because it seems to be there's a new sheriff in town, and it sounds more like the New World Order than whether they're Democrat or Republican.
All right. So thank you. One thing I want to add, going back to that subject of migrants, and everybody frames it in the context of them committing illegal acts. They were forced, or they felt forced, to leave their country. And they directed themselves to the United States. Why? Because the United States, number one, is one of the biggest and most powerful countries in this hemisphere. But number two, and this is extremely important for all these people who know all the faults, but don't know the law. The United States signed on to all kinds of protections for migrants, as was the case for many other countries, in recognition of their obligation, as they saw it, to protect human rights. They didn't just get up one morning and say, okay, we're going over here and invade a country. They were operating under the full protection of international law, whether you like it or not. The fact is, you don't know it. You don't like it, it's so clear. But they were acting under their rights. Listen to that word. They were acting under their full rights as laid out in international law. And so was, so should be the United States and any other country that is a signatory to the rights of migrants. So I don't want to hear your specious, simplistic arguments. Well, look, they're coming here. Why shouldn't they come here? Why are white people here? How did they come here? Through slaughter, through extermination, through campaigns of terror. And then they went to Africa and got more people to terrorize and bring them here to work for free. These were not legal acts. The world has evolved, and they have discovered, and they have acknowledged that so many wrong things are occurring in other countries that these people who have to flee for their very lives feel compelled to do, and they should be protected. And that's why worldwide, through the United Nations, there are laws that protect them. When they get to their destination, they can further flesh things out. Who are you? Why are you fleeing? How can you prove that you're a migrant? How can you prove that you were subject to all kinds of acts of terror? It's like the Jews from Europe. They had the same rights and privileges that protected them and that should have protected them because they were under direct assault. They were targeted for death. What are they, to please you, they should just sit there and be killed and exterminated? Please know the law and put some logic in your brain, some knowledge in your brain. What you saw, and let's be frank about it, you saw black people and immediately you were terrorized. The sight of all these black people. No, these were terrorized black people seeking to do things in a legal way, a lawful way, under international law. They are to be protected. Then, once they go where they intended to go, if they're allowed to, then they sort things out in greater detail. Who are you? How did you end up in this group of migrants? How did you end up here? And it is up to the nations to evaluate the strength of their case and either admit them or not admit them. They're not breaking the law. They're not breaking the law. But you have people running around saying, well, look at them. They're just coming in here like they could just do that. No, Yes, they have the side of the law. Allegedly, they are obeying the law. The guys on the horses with their long straps, they're not. And they are supposed to be the government. They are the ones who are supposed to be protecting the people who are moving as a group. They're supposed to be protecting migrants, not being brutal to them. And for to just finish this point, I want you, I don't know what your ethnicity is, and I don't care. But when you have a chance, examine your ethnicity and what people in your ethnic group had to do to get here. And you tell me whether you would have been okay with seeing them being lashed like slaves, while they in fact did break the law, some of them, to come to the United States because they were so desperate. Don't be so simplistic and racist. I catch you every time. We move on to Morocco from Virginia. You're on the air.
How you doing, Patrice?
Okay, you sound a little bit amused there. What's going on?
No, I was amused. It seemed like it was a planned attack with 1-2 punch this morning. And,
but I survived. Quite
well. Yeah, you. With the decades of experience you got and energy you got, you can't look at what you got, all what's wrong with you now, and you're still here, and you still how you say? I mean, I don't know nobody any better, and I'm not trying to. This is just the truth from what I see it, and I don't call. I listen almost every day for years. I just don't call that much.
What do you mean by almost every day?
Well, I don't miss too many.
I'm pulling your leg.
I understand.
Thank you for listening. Okay. Thank you for being part of the program. So what are you talking about today?
Well, I noticed on, I think it was, it showed some clip on PBS, the news hour. I saw it around 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that last night. And it had... it was showing Trump's, it just showed, I think it was the woman from England. She's got a program. She's not on it the past several days. Somebody else has been taking over the program. Amanpour, I think. And they showed a clip.
Christiane Amanpour?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Christiane Amanpour. And they showed a clips of one of Trump's rallies and the recent rally, latest rally, maybe, I'm not sure, but it was very recent. And it showed, second time I seen it, it was, they were in like strategic, the black folks were in strategic positions with signs saying black for Trumps. They were up front. It was almost like two was on his right side and two was on his left side. That's what I saw. And I couldn't believe it. It's like then you go back to, the field, quote-unquote, Negro versus the House Negro. And you Uncle Tom's, and you see what's happening. And that was like Bob Marley was one of his records said, they, quote-unquote, will do anything to satisfy their every wish. That's what you're up against. And you're doing a good job. So I saw that, and I mean, dang, they don't leave no stones unturned. They lie. How do you know they're lying? Their lips are moving, they're lying. We figure out today. That's basically all I don't have to say. I got a lot.
All right. But, okay, Morocco, I'm glad that you called in today. And I'm even happier that you listen almost every day. Good to know.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for contributing. Yeah. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I appreciate your passion today because
So that's what you call it? I was being loud.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's what compelled me to have to call because you got me motivated. I had called earlier in the week. We were talking about Andrew Yang being able to be electable in New York City.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And then I basically was convinced that due to his race and his surname, that he was unelectable at this time in this country. And I just wanted to pull something up since we were talking about immigration today. Actually, in fact, the first immigration bill ever to be written in this country, it's called the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882.
Yes.
And no one can tell me that immigration has to do with the fact that we can't afford more people coming into the country, when in fact the first bill specifically says Chinese Exclusion Act. It was a racist bill. So the only thing that Donald Trump did at the border was create a bottleneck. He didn't control it. He created a bottleneck that was going to erupt sooner or later because the demand and the cause and effect is in play. You like you perfectly stated. When I say we, the United States exploits all of the natural resources from what they call the backyard. The backyard meaning the rest of the American countries. So, for example, my father-in-law, he lives in Suriname. Suriname's a little tiny country in South America. I just found out today that my father-in-law makes $3 a day. $3 a day. Now, Suriname is a country with a lot of natural resources. They have bauxite. They just discovered oil off the shore of Suriname. There's all of timber. I mean, the United States is constantly taking the natural resources and giving nothing back. What do you expect these people to do? You know, they don't make enough money to feed themselves in their own country. And then when a country like Cuba or Venezuela decides not to play baseball with the United States and play by their rules, guess what happens? They take the whole international weight of the world and crush them. Then you wonder, well, why are those countries struggling? I wonder why, when you got so much pressure, so many people going against you, just because you want to be a sovereign country and not be exploited, you get all the weight of the world put on you. And that's basically what's going on. It's none of this, we can't afford these people coming here. The fair thing that should be happening, what I wish would happen, my idea would be to have something similar to what the European Union has, where you have free travel and free trade. We should have that here in the United States, but because this country is an Anglo-Saxon centric country. So that means that if you're not English speaking, first of all, you don't compute. You're not compatible. That's the reason why the United States and Canada are the only two countries that pretty much have a free travel between the two countries. That's the reason why, because they have a compatibility that the United States does not want to have with the rest of the Americas and the Caribbean.
Well, you see, my point is, if the nation, the United States, actually felt that way, that's okay if people sanction that. But that's not what it said. It signed on to international protocols governing the protection of people trying to protect their own lives as they flee from direct threat. It was a humanitarian thing for sure, but it was also about the law. Does a person have the right to protect his or her life by fleeing from the source of threat to his or her life? And there were treaties negotiated and signed off on, and international law that many countries signed off on under the color of humanitarian protection. Now, people are, for some reason, they don't want to even deal with that. It doesn't exist. These are just lawless, aimless people crowding into the United States for no reason at all, other than it's better than Haiti. That's the going explanation, is that these are people who just have nothing else to do but loaf off of somebody else. This, by the way, is a point that is consistently missed. This is law. They are acting firmly within the context of the law, fully within the context of the law. International law, sanctioned law, approved law. And then you have these dunderheads who decide, because they obviously have seen so many black people, and children included, that they don't want that. This terrorizes them. Just the sight of black people, all these black people amassing, and they had no idea how they got there, how they organized to be in the same place at the same time. What do you think? This was kind of accidental. They organized to leave horrible conditions. When you have a president of a country who was assassinated in his own house, you have record unemployment, you have few amenities available to the people and privileges. They can't earn a living.
And that's my point, is that the United States has the ability to go to countries like Haiti and cut trade deals that benefit the people of Haiti, but they choose not to do that.
Exactly.
And this is one of the things, this is one of my pet peeves when it comes to Haiti. Whenever you hear the country of Haiti mentioned on the news, what comes with the name Haiti? The most impoverished country, I don't know if they say in the hemisphere or in the world. Right? What does that tell you? I just said that my father-in-law makes $3 a day in Suriname. Okay? I can only imagine how much a person makes in Haiti. Okay? So, because if they're the most impoverished country, you would assume they will make less. That being the case, why do we fabricate so many products in China? And I'm not trying to be anti-Chinese or anything like that. All I'm saying is we go out of our way to go out of our hemisphere to do trade when right here, we have so much opportunity to do right by the people that live on our own hemisphere. But because, like I said,
or in your own backyard. Louisiana could use employment.
Exactly. Use their word backyard, which to me is a very offensive term. That's why, you know, I don't like this. I don't like using that term, only in the sense that how they use it and when I'm referring to historical content. but like you said, you know, it's like a hop, skip, and a stone away or something like that. It's right there. I mean, how can so you cannot tell me that you're not purposely trying to create these situations, and then when they come knocking on your door, you're wondering why are you at my doorstep? Why are you at my doorstep?
Well, this is the reason I keep on reminding people: no laws have been broken; they are acting strictly within the law. International law to preserve their lives. They are allowed to do that. They didn't form an unending flotilla and just show up on the shores of whatever country they pick and say, well, we're here. No. This is being done presumably under international law, and the reason I say presumably is because the United States is compelled, it is bound to observe that because it's a signatory to that law. Now, if it no longer wants to do so, it should be brave enough to say, well, we're out. We were in, but we don't want this anymore. But it hasn't said that. This is a very important point, and I blame the media because, well, anyway, they don't know, and another said they just don't care. But it would be helpful if they at least explored the question, how did these people assemble? Why? And what gives them the courage to keep on advancing? Because in their heads and in their hearts, they're not breaking the law. They are operating strictly within international law that says signatories to that law are committed and are bound and are charged with defending people who are invoking that law as a way of preserving their lives. Now, it is very clear Trump doesn't want to do that. He would never do that. And the question now is, with Biden doing a kind of diplomatic tic-tac-toe, are Haitians entitled to protections under the law? That's the question, and it needs to be answered just as the question is posed. You either want them here or you don't.
When they got caught, because they violated the law, I believe they sent back a large amount of Haitians initially, and they broke the law in all of those cases, because in many cases, those folks had dual citizenship from other countries, and they were sent directly to back to Haiti. So
the thing is,
the United States,
they don't need to explain. This is how the law, this international law works. You classify yourself because of your direct experiences, and it somehow has been corroborated. People know your situation. Immediately, you qualify for protection by whichever government is there to help you. Once you are removed from the immediate danger and you're taken to a place that is safe, then they start, you know, looking closer to see whether, in fact, you told the truth or you didn't tell the truth. You're either a migrant or you're a criminal. That's how it's supposed to work. But that's not how they're working it, and that's not how they're presenting
exactly.
It. And the media, I'm so angry with that institution because they should know better. They should know the law. This is not somebody waking up on a Sunday morning saying, it's a nice, wonderful sunny day. I think I'll jump in a boat and take my chances. No, that's not how it works. It wasn't that way, as I said, for any European migrant, you ask. And they were under even greater stress, many, many of them. But the law saved them. And they had to obey the law. You sign on as a nation, you're a signatory, to these agreements, you are held responsible to observe them and uphold them. Thanks a lot for calling in today, Tony. And that brings us to the end of our program. Look, we are not supposed to tolerate ignorance on any level. It's one thing if you don't know. That's okay. It just requires you to expend a little bit of energy directed toward knowing. But it's another thing to be willful in your ignorance, dedicated to it, a servant of it. There's no excuse for that. I'm talking to somebody who is pontificating about this and that, and you don't know the basics. You're an ignorant person, and you're racist on top of that. And I will point that out every time. You can bet on that. Thanks for listening and participating today. Well, you know what tomorrow is. It's Free Your Mind Friday, and I expect some more of the same. I love it. Bye-bye.